Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Step back to verse 18 again. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Is anybody a saint here in this place today? You know God. You've been filled with his spirit. You've gone down in his name, water baptized. And if you haven't, this is your morning. Today's your day. If you need to come before God and repent, be baptized. We already saw a baptism. That water's still warm. We can get a robe. Or we can turn that around in 5 minutes. Trust me. And you can go down in the name of Jesus. You can be filled with his spirit and come up out of that water speaking in another language. Because the Holy Ghost is still being poured out. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. My whole career I've been in some kind of design or engineering job. And I got a problem with this verse right here. I know I'm not supposed to be like that. But walk through this with me. Because I'm very process and logical oriented. I've got to nail this down and have it exactly in the system that I need to be able to comprehend. And here he's saying, you need to be able to comprehend this. If you're a saint, if you have God in your life. The breadth. How do you measure the breadth? With your hand. Show me. Show me like a little kid. Right? And the length. How do you do the length?
Length.
And the depth. The depth. Okay, now it breaks right here. And the height. No, you did that for depth. No. You can't do that. Here's what happens in our society. Now, this is what I do, is I draw plan sets. That's what I do. I'm a drafter. And I draw plan sets, and they're all on these nice flat sheets of paper. And I have the whole plan in front of me. I know how it's all going to line out. Months before the thing is built, I know what's going to happen. That's my job. And I'm wired that way. I have it all lined out. I know that it's going to be this and it's going to be this. And I've been doing it a long enough time to know that there's only three dimensions. You work in three dimensions. And now the Apostle Paul's messing me up here. You guys know what I'm, you know, they used to do, because you guys used to seeing stuff on the screen, because you're a spectator. You're looking at the screen and it's just, there, you can, you know, you can't add that fourth thing. And they tried doing that thing where you had the special glasses and the screen and the images were popping out at you, and no one liked that. No one wanted to buy those things, man. I'm getting too involved here. I want to watch this show. I want to watch what's going on. I don't want stuff coming at me, man. That's creeping me out. So they couldn't sell the special glasses television or whatever. And now I step into this verse and I'm like, what? He's got this going here. It's three dimensions as long as you're looking at it on the screen. It's three dimensions as long as you're looking on a piece of paper. But in order to experience that fourth dimension, you need to step in. You've got to step in. You've got to walk into, you've got to be surrounded by it. then you can truly say, I know what is the breadth and the length and the depth of that. Because it's above me, it's below me, it's behind me, it's in front of me. It's to my left and it's to my right. He's surrounded me. His presence is wrapping around me. And now I truly know what it means to be with him. So as much as I do, I have this flat sheet of paper up here. And it has all my notes. Has all my notes. Everything I'm supposed to say is on this sheet of paper. And then they get to singing. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. It never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see, because I can see this, right? Even when I don't feel it, he's working. You never stop. You never stop working. We can sing it. You guys can sing. Sing. Never stop. Never stop. You don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never, even when I don't see, even when I don't see it, your work. Even when I don't feel it, your work. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop.
You guys need to sign up for the worship team. Anyone believe that? Anyone believe that? Oh, if you could just experience his presence. If you could just know his presence. If you could just know my Jesus. Take a moment. Take a moment right now and just feel after his presence. Reach out towards him. He's here. He's here. Maybe it's not exactly what you expected it to be. Maybe it's not all lined out perfectly on the piece of paper like you want it to be. But he's here. But he's here. He never stops working. He's rearranging destinies. He's working in our midst. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody. Yes, Lord. That is who you are. That's who you are. That's right. Let the power, let the presence of God, let it sweep in and sweep over your souls. That's all right. That's all right. This might not be for everyone, but it's for someone. It's for somebody. If you're not familiar with the power and presence of God, that feeling, that warm feeling, that feeling of just water flowing over your soul, that's it right there. That's it right there. Walk towards that. In your spirit, in your heart, walk towards that. Take steps toward that. That's where he is. He wants to meet you. He wants to love you. He wants to embrace you in this place this morning. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Oh, to be with you. Oh, to be with you. Oh, to experience you. Yes, Jesus. I've got to know you. I've got to know you. I've got to know you. That's who you are. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. To be close to you and let your presence just wrap around me. Because that is who you are. That's who you are. Yes, Jesus. feel after the comfort of my presence. You've been walking around in the desert of this world for so long, trying to find the thing that you thirst after. It is time for you to come to me. It's time for you to experience me. I have waters that you can drink that you'll never thirst again. Come to me, abide with me, spend time with me, and I will refresh you this morning as you come into my presence. More than we need a perfect set of songs or a perfect sermon to come over this microphone, we need the presence of the Lord.
Yes. Amen. Yes, brother. Yes, brother.
I wish I was talented enough to just carry it and just be that guy who could just have it so together that I could just walk you through all the steps and get you where you need to go. Man, I'm not. I'm not. Those people don't exist. We make it up in our mind. We have our favorite preacher. We have our favorite singer. We have our, and we think that, oh, if just they would be there. If that person would just preach. If I was at the altar and just that evangelist, that preacher, that missionary, whoever would come and they would lay hands on me in the altar, then maybe I could have my breakthrough. Maybe I could have my victory. Maybe I could get it figured out. But it's not true. It's not true. The only person, the only one that we need to be here is Jesus Christ. There's no magic words that I can say. Today's message is supposed to be about repentance. And I'm trying to get there, but it just keeps on pulling me back. Don't apologize. Don't apologize. If we could experience him. Oh, if we could know him.
Amen.
I think he would preach the message for me. And I know God has ordained that men would spread the gospel and preach the word. But there's a lot of things that you preach and your words just fall short. I can't explain it well enough. You have to come into contact with God. And he starts doing the work in your heart. So we'll get in a little bit to this, but we've already gone. We're already making our way right to the goal right now. So everyone just be seated. We're going to get into this for just a second. I'll do my best not to drone on or try and, because I cannot upstage God. What he's doing and how he's stirring people right now. Who knows? Who knows? Mark 2, 3 through 7. We're going to do that. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? The scribes and the Pharisees were right or were wrong a lot of the times, but in this case, they're correct. No one can forgive sins but God. And they were not attuned to the truth that that was God in flesh that was standing right there before them. I want to be tuned in. I want to be tuned in to what he's doing. There's a certain way that they study medicine. And we went through this a little bit with our family.
that they would give you a treatment, but if you were in a clinical trial, they would maybe give you a placebo. You guys know what a placebo is? Fake pills. Fake pills. And so you don't know if you're active in the study or if you're one of the people that's getting faked out with the fake pills, because they want to make sure that they get the true effect. And so I started reading about this and the fact that they would give runners what they called super oxygenated water before they went to go do a sprint. And the runners would run 8% faster in their sprints. The fact is, you can't actually super oxygenate water any more than just taking one more breath. You can't oxygenate water, thus the drowning thing. You can't pump it in. It's just not natural. Water is water, and it wants to push stuff out. So it displaces it. But have you ever noticed how great that you sound when you're singing along with a recording in the car? Yeah. Yeah, it's like mine. I should be headed straight to Nashville. This is incredible. And then all of a sudden, the radio cuts out for a second, and you hear yourself, and you're like, nah. Nah, man, we're staying in Portland. And so the placebo effect can kind of take over. There's a study where they had Japanese poison ivy, and they would take school children and rub it against their arm and say, well, we're going to rub this poison ivy. Tell me what you feel. And they would break out in blisters and rashes. And then they would tell them afterwards, no, actually, that was a different plant. But just in their mind, there's a migraine medication called Maxalt. And they had two different groups. What they would do is they gave one a big old bottle that said Maxalt, and they said, you take this and see what it does for your migraines. It had fake pills in it. They gave another bottle out to a different group that said placebo on it. It actually had Maxalt in the bottle. It was the real medicine. And these guys had signed all the waivers and everything, so it was fine. But what was the level of effectiveness in medication between the two groups? It was the same. It was the same. The people that didn't have the medication but thought they did, and people that thought they had medication but didn't, got the same results. And it's so easy in our mind to be tricked into things that are not real, or thinking that we have some kind of power that we don't have. Man, I can run faster. I can sing great while singing along with the radio. Man, I sound good. Mark 11 and 25. We're preaching about, if you haven't caught it yet, is the placebo effect. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And I talked to Pastor Hansen specifically about this topic to make sure I was on the right track. Sometimes we can be in a prayer meeting with God and he brings something to our mind and we feel like we have authority over the situation. Like I've got to, no, the Bible just says something comes up. You need to forgive. You need to let that go. And there is a time for reconciliation, to sit down face to face. Sometimes you do have to, like I said, I talked to the pastor about this, asked his thoughts on it. But a lot of times you go to pray and there's something that comes up where there was a hurt. You need to forgive. Now, it's Father's Day next week. Man, I tell you, man, if any of you guys know the history of my relationship with my father, just kneeling down to pray and just being like, forgive, okay, yeah, I got that. No, it wasn't that simple, man. It took a bit, but God helped me. God helped me. And one thing I realized through some of these processes is that it actually is just like the scribes and the Pharisees said. Only God can forgive sins. And here I am, oxygenating the water with my fake stuff, my fake pills or whatever, saying, oh, I have the power to hold this over my dad's head. I have the power to turn back the forgiveness and the grace of God and what he's doing in my dad's heart, and fooling myself, thinking, oh, God, you know, because there's something in you that's like, God, you can't, you know, it's like you want to pray for your family member to be saved, for that person that hurt you to be saved or to be forgiven, and there's that block that you're trying to add in your little deal. And it's like, I'm having a hard time praying for them. I don't know why, but there's that thing where you're struggling to forgive them. And it's like, well, God, I don't know if I want you to bless them that much. You know, you can bless them a little bit, but just don't bless them a whole lot because they're not a very good person. And it's like, I know you died for everyone, but I think you died for me more than you died for them. And so I just want to make sure that we get this straight. And we're trying to add in our stuff. Or you might be kind of on the flip side of this same thing. You're having a problem breaking through to God because you never got that complete reconciliation. You have that person that you maybe got cross-threaded with. You were a little bit off with. Maybe they passed on. Maybe that relationship is long gone. You don't know where they are. And you never got it straight. And you hold the authority. You hold court over yourself. I say, man, I never got that straight. It didn't end like I wanted it to end. And what do I do now? And all of a sudden, you're judge and jury over your own heart. You don't have that authority. You don't have that authority. This can play out here as well when we don't forgive ourselves. There was a thing that I read because I was trying to study out. How does, you know, people like, they have these things. They have these things where they just think they get on this track and they don't realize that there's some tricks going on. Any of you guys know what Beats headphones are? Anyone own Beats headphones? You like those? Are nice, man. That must be cool, man. I can't afford those, but I tried them on the Apple Store. Listened to them. They sound really good. Got headlights the next week. I don't know why, but you know. That is not a true story at all. No, that didn't happen. No, the Beats headphones, man, and they come in all these different colors, right? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Beats headphones. And they have like the little logo, and I think that's a lot of the reason why they buy them, is because you want people to see the little B on the side of them. You know the thing about a lot of these Beats headphones? I'm talking the full-size ones, not the buds, but the full-size ones, they were too lightweight. They started adding metal pieces in the cuts. Because people picked them up and they felt cheap. Like, these feel too cheap, man. I'm paying $130 for these headphones. I got to have more quality, more sturdy. My headphones are too lightweight. When I walk around, I need them. I need to be weighing down my head. Because I like weight on my head. Because that's more comfortable. They know how we are. And this is how we do. Life gets so messed up when we can't figure things out. Whether it's our fault or not, sometimes it is our fault. Totally, it's us to blame. Sometimes it's not. And here I am. I'm searching the Bible trying to find examples of self-forgiveness. There actually isn't any in the Bible. Even as bad as it got for Job, he was never like, oh, I got to learn to forgive myself. But we struggle with that. Like trying to be able to forgive ourselves for our past regrets. And what can happen to us is God has set up this relationship with him, and we feel like we got to have this add-on. It's like, no, man, I feel too free. You know, I feel too liberated. I feel too clean. I feel too pure. You know, there's something, got to be messed up or something. There's something, and if, you know, you start talking to yourself, you have this self-talk. Well, maybe you guys don't, but I do. And you're talking, you say, man, I went and repented of that altar, but, you know, there was this one thing that I did that, Jesus, I don't know. And we got to add that weight back in and say, now, I know I cried and I was sincere and I turned from doing wrong and I tried to, and you can't forgive yourself because those regrets come back in your head. And it plagues you and it messes with your mind. And the truth is, yes, you do need to forgive others, but you need to forgive yourself. But really, it's just you letting it go because you don't have the authority to forgive yourself. He's the one who forgives, and if he says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. Amen. So don't step out of his authority. So is it wrong not to forgive yourself? No, but what I don't want to have happen in your life is for you to be carrying around this weight, and eventually that drags you down. And it breaks, it causes a break in your relationship with God. And all of a sudden you find that you can't talk to him anymore because you're carrying this weight. No, he's forgiven you. He never intended for you to carry that weight. If there's stuff that you do need to make right, make it right, but he'll forgive. He'll forgive. He has so much more mercy than you and I have. He's not a person. He's not a man that he should lie. And as I said in the first thing, I kneel down to pray, and I struggle. Here I, like years, you know, struggle to forgive. God, help me. Bring me through that. I'm going to forgive one more time, and I'm going to proclaim it. That's not how God is. We struggle to forgive. God doesn't struggle to forgive. He doesn't. Not at all. That is 100% pure his nature. And he's welcoming you with open arms. Forgive yourself. Or just let it go. And if you say, Eli, man, I can't forgive myself. Okay. You're right. Only he can. Yeah. We're moving on. Amen. Let him be the judge. How about this one right here? I read a story about the 2015 Ford F-150 EcoBoost. Anyone drive a Ford F-150 or know what a Ford F-150 is? Okay, does anyone actually drive a Ford F-150? All right. We got at least one witness. The Ford F-150 EcoBoost, 2015 model, has fake engine noise piped in through the stereo. I can just imagine how this went in the factory the first time they pulled one of these off the line. We've got the sound engineer who presents it to the cabin engineer. I'm in engineering, so I know how these conversations go. It is pathetic. And the sound engineer, puttied and taped all the cracks and crevices there in the engine compartment. And he says to the cabin engineer, hop in, give it a try. And the guy jumps in, turns the key, or pushes the button, or whatever, they do it a lot of different ways now. Magically waves, and this thing turns on. Boom. And the cabin engineer says, oh no, that will never do. The cabin of my truck is too quiet. I can hear my music when I drive down the road. We can have conversations while we're on a trip. No, okay, it's like, we can't go stripping all this putty and tape off the engine compartments. I know. We're going to put a digital file of engine sound, and every time you press the gas, you're going to get a little, oh, that is so much more manly. I feel like I'm in a real truck now. This is happening. This is not fake news. Ford is messing with you, and I'll let you know, Volkswagen is too. They've got a little, now they built their own designated sound box. They were a little smarter. No, Ford F-150 is like, well, we got speakers right here. Yeah, it's like, well, I could download an MP3 of the engine noise off the internet. Sounds good. Fire her up. How dumb is that? But like I said with the headphones, they know how we are. These guys are studied in these matters. And they know we want it to sound like a good truck. Oh, that's a good, I like that. I like that we're pressing on it. It's got power. Nah, it's a lie. You ever been mad at God? Yeah, okay. Let me tell an example about the only person in the room that's ever been mad at God, that's me. There's times in your life when you'll want something worse than you wanted anything else. You'll believe that it's the best thing among all the many options. And you're going to go to God in prayer, and you're going to lay out all the possible good results and request sincerely with faith in Jesus' name and still not get it. And I blamed him. I have, man. I'm not above admitting that. Oh, you guys are. Exodus 5, 22 and 23. I'm not alone. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Next one. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. He had to throw in those last two words. You have not done at all. I came, I did what you said, I prayed, I fasted, I believed, I lived for you, I turned from my wicked ways, I did all this stuff you said in your word. Came and stood before the burning bush, took my shoes off. Man, I know, you guys have never been there. I'm mad. God, how could you do me like this? I'm living for you, I've been doing the right thing, I've been paying my tithes. Talking to people about your goodness. And you leave me here. And this is 3 and 12. This is Adam, the man. The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. You gave this person to me and you got me all tripped up, God. The Israelites blame God over and over again. I could tell you stories from Exodus. We don't have time to read it. Deuteronomy, the book of Ezekiel. Man, I've said it many times over this pulpit. We're all looking for someone to blame. And we can turn it on God sometimes. Really, only he's sovereign. And to judge him and his motives is the ultimate futility. And we create our own placebo effect when we got to add our noise to his plan. And I'm not talking, this is not simple stuff I'm talking. This is preached to me right now. Because I had plans, man. I had a way that I was supposed to go with this whole thing, man. And the fact that we know that God could do it, but he didn't do it. Your faith in his power is at war with your faith in his wisdom. And they're meeting in the middle and we keep taking the pill hoping it's going to help us. Keep adding the noise in. Ford F-150 has 325 horsepower. But that's not what we're dealing with here. You know that Rolls Royce, a lot of those models, you know what they list the horsepower as? Adequate. How much power you need? Step on that gas pedal. I guarantee you'll be good. That's what we've got when we have a relationship with God. Here we are. We're worried about trying to make sure everything sounds good and looks good. We sing the song, when I don't see it, he's working. When I don't feel it, but man, I'm going to like to see something, God. I'd like to, if I could just feel. I've prayed it. God, if I could just feel just like one time, just like a little bit, just struggle to feel his presence, struggle to see just a little piece of the miracle. And I've tried searching after him, trying to scratch it out. And I'm not seeing it like I want to see it. We don't want to get caught in the snare of the doubt of his sovereignty, of his wisdom. We can get so tied up in the mess of all that. It can almost become as if we're not forgiven. We are. But we can get so wrapped up in our conflict with God himself. Man, and I've been there. I walk that road. That there's a break in our relationship. You ever have a relationship go bad? Just turn a direction and you're just like, sometimes it happens so fast. And maybe sometimes you try to reconnect with that person and it was just like there was this wall.
And you can go to God in prayer, and you spend enough time where you're fighting against his plan. You're fighting against what he's trying to do. And you can't make that connection because I can't just surrender to his wisdom. And I know that's a very hard thing, but it's a necessary thing if you're going to have a long-term relationship with God. Here's the one thing we can control. This is the medicine that isn't fake. Something powerful happens when a man or a woman will just humble themselves before God and say, God, I was wrong. I need to change. God, help me to change. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. Talking to you about the power of repentance. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of or not to be embarrassed about or turned back from. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. So all the brokenness and all the confusion that's out there, that's a different thing. But when you come in before God with a broken and humble heart, the scripture says that a broken and a contrite spirit, the Lord our God will not despise. And the thing that lets me know is that it's not about some kind of magic words or recipe that I've got to go through all these steps or jump through all these hoops. So many times I've tried to pray the perfect prayer to help get God to accept me, accept what I'm trying to say. But he's just saying, come with humility. Come with brokenness. James says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. So maybe you come in here today, and we can all stand. We're getting ready to wrap this up. Maybe you have something you need to make right with God. Don't you know that you have power? Don't get caught up in the things that happened in the past. Things you've struggled with understanding God's will or struggling to forgive yourself. Here's where your power really is. You can come before God and kneel at his feet and say, God, I need you. God, I'm sorry. God, I repent. God, I turn. That's where your power really lies. All that other stuff is trying to step into his office. Now, you do need to let it go, all that kind of stuff. I want you to understand it's important. But where you're going to find your power and your relationship with God is when you come before him and you humble yourself before him. Now, maybe you had a great week. You've been living for God. You've been doing the right thing. This is a lot of times what I'll pray. And that is, God, I repent of who I am in light of who you are. So I'm really honest with myself, my thoughts, my motives, the way that I act so many times are just so selfish. They're not like him. That doesn't mean I'm out willfully sinning and trying to be a bad person and going against God's will. It's just I need to realize that I need him. Amen. God will not deal with arrogance. He'll deal with humility. And so a lot of times I won't do a general altar call. It'll be targeted to specific people and, you know, specific needs. But just knowing the move of the Holy Ghost that we've already experienced in this place this morning, I think everyone in this house, including myself, to find a place of prayer. Even if you don't have anything specific that you feel like you got to repent of or fix or whatever, find a place. Whether you're kneeling in your seat, this altar is open. You come up here, kneel before God and say, God, I humble myself before you. I need you. I need your presence. I'm not good enough on my own. God, I've tried it my own way and through my own strength. Oh, but I've got to have you. I've got to have you. You already know that his presence is here this morning. Would anyone just want to
have just a little bit more. Just experience, just step in. If you'll come with a humble heart, if you'll kneel with a humble heart, I guarantee he'll meet with you this morning. Jesus, go ahead and come. Go ahead and come. Find yourself, kneel at your seat, lift your hands where you are. Jesus, Jesus, oh, how I need you. Jesus, oh, how I need your presence. God, what I've tried isn't working. God, the arrogance that I've approached my life with, it is not good enough. Oh, but Jesus. Oh, but Jesus. If I could have you, God, if I could reach out, God, and I could sit at your feet, if I could spend some time with you, God, that's where my answer is. Lord, I want a relationship with you, Jesus. Yes, I need you. God, my heart reaches out toward you.